as Rachel approached the final checkpoint. She wondered what kind of problem had caused her pager to ring twice in the last 30 minutes. "Good morning, Miss Sexton." The guard smiled as she approached the steel doorway. Rachel returned the smile as the guard held out a tiny swab for Rachel to take. "You know the drill," he said. Rachel took the hermetically sealed cotton swab and removed the plastic covering. Then she placed it in her mouth like a thermometer. She held it under her tongue for 2 seconds. Then, leaning forward, she allowed the guard to remove it. The guard inserted the moistened swab into a slit in a machine behind him. The machine took 4 seconds to confirm the DNA sequences in Rachel's saliva. Then a monitor flickered on, displaying Rachel's photo and security clearance. The guard winked. "Looks like you're still you." He pulled the used swab from the machine and dropped it through an opening, where it was instantly incinerated. "Have a good one." He pressed a button, and the huge steel doors swung open. As Rachel made her way into the maze of bustling corridors beyond, she was amazed that even after 6 years here, she was still daunted by the colossal scope of this operation. The agency encompassed 6 other U.S. installations, employed over 10,000 agents, and had operating costs of over $10 billion per year. In total secrecy, the NRO built and maintained an astonishing arsenal of cutting-edge spy technologies. Worldwide electronic intercepts, spy satellites, silent embedded relay chips in telecom products, even a global naval recon network known as Classic Wizard, a secret web of 1,456 hydrophones, mounted on seafloors around the world, capable of monitoring ship movements anywhere on the globe. NRO technologies not only helped the United States win military conflicts, but they provided an endless stream of peacetime data to agencies such as the CIA, NSA, and Department of Defense, helping them thwart terrorism, locate crimes against the environment, and give policymakers the data needed to make informed decisions on an enormous array of topics. Rachel worked here as a gister. Gisting, or data reduction, required analyzing complex reports and distilling their essence, or gist, into concise, single-page briefs. Rachel had proven herself a natural. "All those years of cutting through my father's bullshit," she thought. Rachel now held the NRO's premier gisting post, intelligence liaison to the White House. She was responsible for sifting through the NRO's daily intelligence reports, deciding which stories were relevant to the president, distilling those reports into single-page briefs, and then forwarding the synopsized material to the president's national security advisor. In NRO speak, Rachel Sexton manufactured finished product and serviced the customer. Although the job was difficult and required long hours, the position was a badge of honor for her, a way to assert her independence from her father. Senator Sexton had offered many times to support Rachel if she would quit the post, but Rachel had no intention of becoming financially beholden to a man like Sedgwick Sexton. Her mother was testimony to what could happen when a man like that held too many cards. The sound of Rachel's pager echoed in the marble hall. "Again?" She didn't even bother to check the message. Wondering what the hell was going on, she boarded the elevator, skipped her own floor, and went straight to the top.